It is a good day to give thanks to the Lord. Someone asked me if this was the Kellogg's rooster. It could be. But it's always good to give thanks to the Lord. And we're going to read from Psalm 136 this morning. And after that, I just want you to call out what you're thankful for. We'll give it a few minutes. So while we're reading this, be thinking of something that you can be thankful for today. Psalm 136, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3, and then verse 26. We've already read them, if you'll notice, as we read through this. So, here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word this morning. So, here we go. What do you have to be thankful for? Okay, brothers and sisters in this room, anything else?
Family.
For what?
There's too much to be thankful for.
Too much to be thankful for. Anything else?
Life.
Salvation.
Bethel.
Health.
Health.
God.
I didn't hear that one.
Freedom.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Great. Rajon's hair, which is going to be cut off pretty soon and given to a very worthy cause. Okay. Well, I'm thankful that I see some university students here today that we don't see all that often anymore. Good to see you, Garrett. Good to see Alex. I saw her here today. There she is back there, and Andrew's over there. Yeah. Home for Thanksgiving. Well, gratitude, said A.W. Tozer, is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. In the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord, through the prophet, instructed the people of Israel to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And this word thanksgiving that's used here means an extension of the hand and implies worship. It implies adoration. And in the four verses that we read this morning, the expression, you'll notice, give thanks, is used on every line. Give thanks when things aren't going well. Give thanks when things are going well. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this was vividly brought to bear in the mind of one pastor, Jack Hinton, on the island of Tobago. And Hinton had been leading the worship in a leper colony on the island of Tobago, and a woman who had been facing away from him turned toward the pulpit. And he said it was the most hideous face I have ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone, and she lifted up a fingerless hand in the air and asked this question: can we sing, count your many blessings? Overcome with emotion, Hinton left that service, and he was followed out by a member of his team. And the man said, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. And he said, yes, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way. We have so much to be thankful for in our country. We live in a free country that we have taken for granted many times. We live in a land of abundance and relative safety. We have social assistance programs to help those in need. Many have insurances for unemployment, or I guess it's employment insurance now, dental and workman's compensation. And most folks in our country do have a pension plan. However, we have the habit, don't we, of complaining. We complain when the temperature's too hot. We complain when it snows, when the temperature's too cold. We should be thanking God that we don't have hurricanes, that we don't have earthquakes, that we don't have tsunamis. We complain if the traffic is too heavy and we get stuck in the traffic. But we should be thankful that we have a vehicle that we can sit in this traffic with. And we complain if we don't have a job. And we complain if we do have a job. I complain if I have to cut my grass too often. And then I complain if it doesn't grow when I plant the seed. But I should be thanking God that I have the strength to be able to do it. I should be thanking Him that I have gas to put in the lawnmower. I don't have to push it by hand. I complain about taxes. But I should be thankful that I have money to pay taxes, because we need them in this country. Henry Mitchell recounted a time when he went to hear Dr. Martin Luther King Sr. speak. And he writes these words. King said his mother had told him always to thank God for what was left. And that was something to think about. If you've got enough breath left to complain, you have something left. I thought that was very impressive, and I really made a mental note of it, he said. Some years later, I went back to Atlanta to Ebenezer Church, and by this time, Dr. King had lost two sons, and he had lost his beloved wife, who was shot to death right in that very sanctuary. And guess what the old man was saying? Thank God for what's left. There's always enough left in life to make it worth living. Give thanks, the psalmist said. He said, give thanks to who? Give thanks to the Lord. And this is the Hebrew national name for God that is used here. You'll notice that it's capitalized on every letter. And it is Yahweh. It is Jehovah. A name that means the self-existent one, the eternal one. And it is the name that represents God in a special relationship to his people as the guardian and the object of worship. God has life in himself. He is dependent on no one. God needs no one, but we need him. We need God to exist because he is our life. We saw a photo this morning of a new baby, and God is the one who is the author of that life. We are helpless. We are hopeless without God, and we are all doomed. If God had not stepped into time in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and had rescued us to save us from the horror of a hell. We are indebted to God this morning. And when God opens the books, he sees debt, sin that needs to be paid for. A man by the name of William MacDonald wrote these words. He said, God's holiness requires it. He cannot overlook sin, or he cannot treat it lightly. There is a debt to be paid, a penalty to be exacted, a sentence to be served, and justice demands judgment. Not all scores are settled in this life. Crimes go unsolved. Debts go unpaid. Wrongs go unrighted. So I submit to you, you should take into account the fact of a coming judgment. But accepting the truth is not enough. You should search until you find a lawyer to defend you and a plea that will absolve you in the face of the towering evidence of guilt. Unless you are successful in this, you come smack against the awful truth, the reality of hell. That's the bad news. But the good news is this: there is a lawyer who can represent us. He is holy, he is just, he is sinless. And he died to pay the debt of my sin and the debt of your sin this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. This is what one of the people that someone said they wanted to give thanks for today. And we ought to give thanks for Jesus Christ. And just as we can call on our lawyer to represent us in a court of law, we can call on Jesus Christ to represent us before a holy God who is the great judge. We cannot represent ourselves because we are unqualified to represent ourselves. Sin is not allowed in God's presence because he is holy. We need to call on Jesus Christ, and we need to say to him, Lord Jesus, I have a debt of sin that God demands payment for. I know that you paid for those sins when you died on the cross. Will you represent me today before God? And the Bible says this: if you've never done that before, you can do that right now. The Bible says this: whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever means two things. It means that anyone can be saved, but it also means that we have a responsibility today to make a personal choice of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I cannot make the choice for you. You can't make it for me. Each person has to make that choice for themselves. In verse 2 of our passage, we are told again to give thanks to the God of gods. And the writer is very specific in his use of God's names in this passage. And here it is, the Hebrew name Elohim. And it is a word that means mighty. It is the plural name for God. It is the name that includes every member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is also a word that is used to make a contrast between God and something or someone else. And in this case, he is contrasted between other gods. He is above all other gods. He is the God of gods. And this name also identifies God as the creator and the providential ruler in the affairs of mankind. He is the God of gods. The majority of people in this world worship a god other than the God of gods. It could be a god of stone, a god of wood, or a god of metal. Only the imagination of mankind can limit one's idea of God. But it's logically impossible to have two true gods, because one will eventually contradict the other. The problem today is that we have thrown out the concept of there being an absolute God and an absolute truth, and we have thrown to the wind our ideas, to the whole teaching of relativism. What's good for you is not good for me. What's true for you is not true for me. And these are based on the God of lies. But there is an absolute God, the only true God, the God of gods. So may I ask this morning, do you worship the one true God, the one who created the heavens and the earth by the word of his power, the one who sustains all that we know in the heavens? He is the God of gods. In verse 3 of our passage, we are told that he is the Lord of lords. And again, this is the name Adonai, which means the sovereign one, signifying that he is Lord and master and ruler. He is the King of kings. He is the ruler of all rulers. And the question that we come face to face with this morning is this: is Jesus Christ the Lord of lords, the ruler of rulers, the master of masters in my life, in your life today? Because he ought to be. He deserves that place of position and none other. He is going to rule on this earth someday, and we were reminded this morning that every knee is going to bow to him and every tongue is going to confess to him that, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. But we need to do it today. Today is the day of salvation, and it's not something that we should put off for a later date. Verse 26. Finally, this verse, he is called the God of heaven, the Almighty One who rules in heaven as well. He is Lord. He is Yahweh Jehovah, the self-existent one. He is Elohim, the one true God, creator and maker of all. He is the God of gods. He is Adonai, Lord of lords, the sovereign ruler. He is the God of heaven. He rules over, he is over everything, and he demands allegiance today from his people, from each one of us. So we're commanded in this verse, we're told in this verse, to give thanks to this God of ours that we've been talking about. Number one, why? Because he is. He's good. God is good. Wow. I know I took you off guard there. God is good. Okay. And he is good all the time. God is good all the time. And in light of the tragedies that we often face in our lives, we often question sometimes the goodness of God. Many are accusing God of supporting evil. God does not support evil, my friends. He supports what is good. And people often ask the question, where was God when all of this took place in my life? He was where he is today. When his son Jesus Christ was being sacrificed on a cross for my sin and yours, God was there. God was watching. God knew what was going to happen to his son. And yet the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. And he loved us to the point of giving the best he had, his own son, to be our savior. Eric Little, the Olympic athlete who died as a missionary to China, said this: circumstances may appear to wreck our lives and God's plans, but God is not helpless among the ruins. Our broken lives are not lost or useless. God's love is still working. He comes in and he takes the calamity and he uses it victoriously, working out his wonderful plan of love. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the second reason we are to give thanks to him is because it's repeated in every verse. His mercy is everlasting. His loving kindness is everlasting. And you will have noticed that it is used in every single verse of this particular psalm. This expression is known as the Great Hallel, and it was sung at feasts with the children of Israel at the Passover, at New Year's, and it was also used in daily worship. One writer said the repetition of the theme is not tiresome. It says to us that the steadfast love of the Lord needs to be constantly before us, and the subject can never be exhausted. His kindness, loyalty, and fidelity never fail. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And may the Lord impress those thoughts upon our hearts this morning as we think about thanksgiving. Let us think this morning of the greatest gift to mankind, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, Paul wrote, for his indescribable gift. May God bless you, and the Lord's hand be with you today as you celebrate with your families together. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, today as we bow in your presence, we do want to give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, our God, for helping us through difficult times in our lives when there didn't seem to be any hope. You stepped in and you took over and you helped us. Lord, we thank you for life. We do thank you for that. Thank you for the many things that we enjoy because of your grace. And Lord, we just want to thank you that your presence is with us and you want to go with us wherever we go. And so I commit, Lord, to you today in a very special way. We pray that that great hand of yours would individually touch each person here and their families and richly bless them, because we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.